And thank you all for coming. And I just want to take some time and share some personal reflections I had from the Jubilee. I first want to thank everyone that attended, both here and from outside our circles, and those that made it possible. And I don't know what to say. I think Jeannie was just a real, I couldn't have made it without her, and Gary, my son, likewise. I want to thank Mary for behind the scenes support. And these are things that I want to thank. And not only that, I want to thank some of those that attended. Certainly Missouri, the Saints, weren't they a blessing with their songs and their children sharing their family? And we thank them both, Hannah and Don, for their ministry to us. And so that list could go on and on. But let's keep them in prayer. And until now, we have been a very small remnant, hidden in obscurity. And this has been really true since 2023, and longer than that for sure, but expressly. In 2023, I remember at what would have been a delayed Pentecost. And we began to enter into many, many personal trials. And some of you did as well. We were not alone. At this time, you may or may not remember the many signs that appeared in the cloud formations. I was just thinking of those today. There was a glory cloud over the seven churches. There were so many, the white horse over Davos in Switzerland. You know, some of these things slipped, but there were a succession of cloud formations that some captured by camera. And that was a real strength to us as we were going through these trials. Don't forget the earthquakes in the Middle East that formed a perfect seven. There were just, I wish I had them available. I couldn't get that together. So these helped us to press on. And then Jerry felt very impressed for us to celebrate our 50th year in ministry. We call it the Jubilee, our Jubilee. And I must confess, I was reluctant because of my own strength. But God gave us strength and the help that we need. Again, I won't go over that list, but I could not have done it alone, and I could not have done it without all of you. And I'm sure of that. I asked the Lord, because some people thought, well, we're going to have a Pentecostal downpour, but consider how many attended from different areas and different walks of life. I pray they were touched, each of them. That's all. Everyone that attended heard the word, felt the Holy Spirit, and those that ministered so ably. And I asked the Lord, what was your purpose in this Jubilee? And I thought of the Lord, 50 years, and I thought, are we entering a Jubilee year or celebrating one? You know the Jubilee year. I don't know what it is on Israel's calendar. But I was made to turn to Luke 4, and I'm going to do that real quickly here. This may sound a little scattered, but I'll get it together. Luke 4 came to me when the Lord entered Nazareth to begin his ministry, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And so, as a remnant, we became visible, whether you liked it or not. Someone said, "Was this your debut?" I said, "Yes." And that was the time when we came visible to many that had never, ever been in our church, ever experienced or heard the message. And it became that time. And then I thought of the time in scripture where it says, "Despise not the day of small things." And we were a small thing. And I'm sure there are many takeaways by everyone. I can imagine them. I ask them every morning, so don't bother. "Lord, what are you doing? How will we get the strength to do what is before us?" So I'm holding that before the Lord every single day. And I'm learning to walk day by day. And I never knew what that meant. As your day, so shall your strength be. And I never knew what that meant until I literally had to take strength for that day. And I thought, "Lord, has this been your preparation to carry Luke 4 to the church, to our nation, to the world, whatever his limits are, whatever they are, to carry the gospel, this wonderful gospel, especially the gospel of Paul, as was so well laid out for us today." And I said, "Lord, are we entering into that time, but it's starting so small that you wouldn't recognize it, you would not at all, and many did not. I know that. But I just want to lay something in your heart. We are going into some very stressful times in our nation. And you remember that Maureen sang that beautiful song recorded, "Lighthouse." And I thought, that's when you need a lighthouse. And what may be coming, and this is mainly from those that are still in the left under that evil plot that tried to take our nation. They are still plotting. And we may pass through some things. And this thought came to me, many that attended here may reach out. "I need help. I need a light." Think about God's wisdom. It isn't always ours, and ours is not only his, for sure. Turn with me this morning to Hebrews 1:5, and I'll try to keep from wandering. You know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They're so much higher. I would not have done that way. But he did, and I have a feeling he has a purpose that we haven't yet seen. If these things are coming, I got up the other night, and it was so dark. It was really early in the morning, and I said, "Lord, I need a flashlight," and I found one. But I thought that little light, it didn't seem like anything. But when you're in darkness like this, it's going to mean something to people that were here. I have a feeling things are coming, a greater shaking yet. And I know we wish this was just all over, but those things are never all over. We have those among us that are becoming desperate. And that means they could become desperately wicked. And we may going to pass through something here, some shakings of our system in many ways. And someone's going to need a flashlight. Someone's going to need a lighthouse. And that song, why don't we just tear it down? I've had people suggest that. And it's been a temptation. But if you don't have this light, where in the world will people go? And maybe it's only a beginning. I have always accepted a small beginning. But I thought of the contrast in Hebrews 1:5. And I'll have you turn there. And we almost wore these scriptures out when we were ministering on them. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be unto me as a son. That was clearly the birth of Christ as the only begotten Son of God that came into this world. And the silence. Have you ever thought about the silence in which he made that entrance? And then I thought of the silence in Bethlehem, pretty much. All is calm, all is bright. Silent night. But you'll remember after they moved actually into a house, the wise men who had been following his star in the east went through Jerusalem. And that's the first time it was ever said or to Israel and those round about, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And they went into a trouble. The whole system began to be troubled. They did return to Bethlehem. They did go another way by the warning of the Lord. But I want to use this. Well, I want this. I want to be out in the open. But we may have experienced something very similar when this period of quietness and silence and working in us, that we may be experiencing what this in the system, how they will treat us, how they will treat this move of God. Well, I'm going to have you read verse 6 in Hebrews 1, if you have your place there. And again, he's skipping all the way down from the first, the birth of Christ, to when he comes again. Well, there's a lot that could be said. It's volumes, volumes. And we've ministered on that. When he bringeth, and that means bringeth back, the first begotten into the world. What do you think that is going to do? I'm asking you. The contrast couldn't be greater. But he's going to bring him back. Notice the title change. We've been through that in this assembly. Everyone knows what it cost him to become the first begotten from the dead. I hope you have, or I have failed in preaching the gospel. But he's bringing him back into this inhabited realm. Not only is it opposite, but he's going to enter first where the angels were. I'll just touch this. If you think he's coming lowly as a little babe, that's not true. Read the rest of Hebrews 1. The heavens is his throne. The earth is his footstool, and he wears the universe as Joseph's coat, Yeshua, coat of colors. That's who's coming back. He said, let all the angels worship him and so forth. And this whole first chapter is so wonderful. But I'm asking you, what is this going to do to the system? Now go back again. If a babe in Bethlehem caused that, what do you think tidings that he again is present in the heavens? He's going to speak, yes, from there. We know that. That's truth. Think about the shaking that could come in the systems. Think. All right? I know you do. I'm not scolding any of you. Think when it reaches into the system that Christ is here, that he's in his presence. I believe he is, but it hasn't really gotten out. It's going to go out. What will happen when you declare the day of the Lord, the seventh day of the Lord, and the day of Christ comes in with a great moving of the Holy Spirit outside the system for sure? But what is that going to bring to all of us? Now, Christ is coming back not in flesh and blood ever again. Hebrews 9 makes that very clear, that he finished the sacrificial work. Do you know if his glory would have shone through when he was in the flesh? It would have changed the whole world. But it was veiled. It was veiled so that he would go to Calvary and he would be able to get there to shed his blood. He'll never do that again. But he is coming back in flesh and bones. He's going to come into his parousia in the heavens. And we are on the cusp of these good years and these evil years that will follow. And I thought, Lord, this hasn't changed. All everything's as it should be. But there's some things I want to talk to you about. We are entering these times. We're also entering the Abram Accords. I'm trying to study those. I'm trying to get something to help me understand. We are entering into these prophetic times. Nothing has changed. We're entering into Romans 9:28, where God is going to do a short work that will begin with the church. It will go to Israel. I don't know what that looks like. In the night seasons, over and over, I said, Lord, what do you mean by a short work? You see, these are things God will show us, but we ask, well, what is a short work? You should ask yourself, I don't know what that is totally. He's going to do a short work in Israel. Now, that's more graphic because there's more written about that. So first, there's some things the Lord has to do. If this is the third day, why isn't he showing himself? Because he told you in 1 Corinthians 15, I have to raise the dead first. Did you know that happens on the day of Christ? There's a whole chapter devoted to it. And the order there was, the dead in Christ will rise first. That's also in 1 Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then you have a whole chapter on the resurrection of the dead. I've been asking the Lord, I wanted to minister this chapter. I haven't been able to. But maybe after we finish our study in Job, we will go through what you need to know just on the resurrection of the dead. Jerry touched it this morning, the order, the harvest. My mind can't even get around how complex that is. But I want you to know that it must be done first, for it's God's order. Think of all the people that have died in Christ just since Christ rose. Well, if you want to go back further, you can go back to Abraham's bosom and think of all that were raised when he came forth, the captivity captive. You can't even put your mind around how many. But they became clouds of witness. And so the Lord will raise the church. There's scripture to tell you that anyone that falls asleep in the Lord has already been passed through the crema. They do that when they stand before the Lord and they are placed in their rank. That is done when you go home. There is so much in this resurrection chapter. I can't possibly touch it this morning. But I want you to think about what the Lord might be doing. You don't have to maybe confirm all of this at this time. Have you ever thought he's raising a cloud of witnesses out of the church to stand with the latter church? What does that mean to you and me? There's going to be a battle against the latter church getting out of here. Do you hear me? I know you do. And I thought how wonderful God's wisdom is to bring this cloud of witnesses that are going to stand with the latter church. Oh, that's the Lord of hosts. That's a host. By rank and order, yes. You will be so thankful for them. We are standing in momentous times. And I had to thank the Lord because they'll stand with the latter church. You see, they all know that if Satan is going to thwart God's plan, it's going to come on the latter church. Trust me. I know that doesn't look like it now, but you will see that it is true. Someone will be praying for you, a host. They have their bodies. All those that have fallen asleep, think of them. And we had pictures of many of them from our assembly. But thank God they're going to become intercessors for the latter church. Yeshua, there's something coming that is so much greater, I think, than what we have anticipated in our little minds. I have a small mind, too. I do. Well, I don't know about smart. I've been through so much, I thought, Lord, all I have is my voice, and that's about it. But I want you to think, and I want you to turn your attention to 1 Corinthians 15:51. I'm just trying to give a word in season. That's all. Yet if you go through this resurrection chapter, and there are some hints at translation, but only a few, then we are given this verse. You know, I've never had this verse spoken to me like it was spoken to me during the Jubilee. Behold, I show you a mystery. How many of you have just taken that for granted? I have. I'm going to show you a mystery. There's a whole mystery devoted to getting the church out of this world. So there are many things we don't know right now, but we will know as we walk and talk with him and follow him. Let me read the verse. Behold, I show you a mystery. It's one of the 12. The resurrection is not a mystery per se. It is part of the mystery of Christ. But there's a separate mystery here for the translation. Why is that? those that are alive and remain. Did you know there's more saints alive today than have lived cumulative to the church age? And I'm speaking of those even in the church. I don't know what God is going to do. I'm sorry. I know some maybe can do this or that, but I'm telling you, this is going to be a different event. This is a different day. This is the seventh day. This is the third day, the consummation of God's purposes. We shall not all sleep. Look at the provision, but we all will be changed. Notice the alls there. That's a provisional statement. It is for all. When you begin to consider the backdrop to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, a lot of people have gotten a great snatch out of that. But that is not true. It won't be true. Do you know it came from here? In a moment, we're going to be gone. But consider, this mystery is going to be revealed to the latter church. How do I get out of here? And you will thank God for the cloud, both of the Old Testament witnesses and those in Elam Moshe, the New Testament. You're going to need a strength from both of them praying for us that we can get out of this world. Again, this is going to be Satan's last attempt to keep Christ from taking his throne. He has to have his living church. It's in type and shadow. Always, when the types and shadows, there was never someone resurrected that there wasn't someone translated in the types. So the Lord has got to complete what he is going to do. And this is those who are alive and remain. We're going to be here. Then when you realize the state of apostasy of the latter church, and I have been studying this for many years, probably back to our founding almost, I don't think very many really discern where we are when it comes to the faith once delivered. And the more sure word of prophecy. We hear it. But there's a church out there that has never heard these things. You can blame the apostasy, but there's no doubt we need help. The church needs help. Turn with me to Jude. I know this is a heavy message, but it was what was laid on my heart. Beloved, Jude is this last book. It was really written by the constraining spirit. It's right before the book of Revelation. Every word in it is so weighty. It's not my intent to go beyond the first part in perhaps verse 14. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, that means once delivered, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. Now that faith was delivered. The kingdom message came forth through Peter, and the church and doctrine thereof was delivered through the Apostle Paul. It has been delivered once. I want to draw your attention to earnestly contend. That word, if you go back in the Greek, I believe it is, it says agonized agonize for the faith that was once delivered. That means something to me so deeply. Agonize, Lord, where am I? And help me to lay hold. This is the faith that was not only once delivered, but our two chief apostles suffered martyrdom for and sealed it. They sealed the book. And John, think what he went through in the 66th book. He was not a martyr per se, because he represented the latter church. And I have to thank him for the more sure word of prophecy. I want to ask you today, with all of the versions, and I'm not going to get on my soapbox, but I would tell you it's impossible to find the faith once delivered in most of the versions today. It's just not there. Did you know in the most accepted version, the NIV, respected, used, all of Paul's gospel has been mined out, but you wouldn't be able to see it if you weren't a real Bible student. Everything about it has been taken out. That's where your church congregation are sitting every day, and they're hearing sermons from those versions that certainly was mentioned by Adam. And you have to wonder, Lord, what are you going to do? I'm glad there's another mystery of God is going to intervene for the latter church, and it is going to be a great mystery. What can I say? In verse 11, we have the woes of the apostasy, and I don't need to go over those. The way of Cain, Balaam, Korah. Do you know some people have never heard these words? But this little assembly knows what every one of those mean. And then we have the revelation of Enoch given to us in verse 14. Enoch, also the seventh from Adam. Now that was in the chronology, the genealogy. We know that. But it was a type of standing on the seventh day. I have to believe that Enoch was caught up to where John was standing. He had to be. For his message is so similar. And he prophesied, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That means he's coming with his saints. He's coming for his saints, those that are alive and remain. You're not going to be forsaken. The Lord is going to visit us in these last days. And there's so much about Enoch, you could just, his name means dedicated, as I remember. He walked with God. He talked with God. And one day God took him. Now, just think about that. He walked home. The church has to be prepared to walk home by rank and order. You're not going by death, burial, and some may, and resurrection. But you're going to learn about translation in these years that are right before us. And with that, I'm going to close this morning. We need to be prepared for the Lord's glory as it is unveiled in Revelations beginning 1 and 13, there's a ninefold revelation. I'm not even going to go there this morning. But we are told in Hosea that the Lord's presence right now, whatever he's doing. But when he comes into this time to he's beginning to work with his living church, he's going to be in a cloud. And the rain, they will veil him. You know why he's veiled? We can't see his glory. It is so great. So what happens to us? We have to have the veil taken off of our heart. And this will be true of God's people until they're able to see him. Do you know if you could see him, you would be changed just like that. But God has to finish a work and get his people ready. And with that, I'm going to close by saying, I'm going to return where the Lord asked me to speak. And that is that our Lord was the greatest worthy of faith. He's going to be revealed as the greatest prophet that ever lived. The greatest priest, of which I don't know a lot about yet. And the greatest judge, I don't know a lot about him there yet. And so I'm going to continue examining the worthies of faith, because each of those is an unveiling of Christ's glory. You may not see it. It's abstract. And so that's where I'm going back, and my time's over. So I just wanted to deliver that message to you. God is moving again. We're going to sing that again tonight or this morning. He's moving. It just isn't on your time clock or your time schedule. And he's not on mine. And I've had to learn to lay that aside. He's moving. He's going to bring forth his church in this hour against all these circumstances. And how in the world is he going to get Israel? Well, read about it, and then it's pretty sobering. Let's sing in closing. God is moving again. Not on my time schedule or yours. My patience is about that long, I think. But we were told to have patience. The book of James, have patience, have patience. And you don't want to suddenly enter into these times until that cloud has been finished, whatever God is doing. That's going to come between you and the heat. Amen. I'm going to close right there.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jolene. We're going to sing God is Moving again. Let's stand. God is moving again. God is moving again. His kingdom is coming in power. God is moving again. God is moving again. God is moving again. His kingdom is coming in power. God is moving again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bless your people. Thank you for your, Lord, that we can feel and your Holy Spirit. I pray you'll bring us back into this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.